I'm excited to continue just a little bit of a talk. Megan and I are doing something fun today. We're doing kind of a co-sermon, so I'll spend the next, 12-ish minutes kind of just reading a scripture here from Jesus and talking about it, and then Megan's going to come up and share a little bit about doing some application. And so we have been going through Missions Month all of October, and I hope it's been really helpful and impactful for you as we've thought about what is the mission of God, what does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God, and then we have intentionally ended this idea of a mini-series on biblical justice. How do we love people like Jesus does, and how do we be people of justice in that natural overflow? And so we'll talk a little bit about that today, and we'll talk about essentially not just being people of hearers but doers, not being people that just think that's a great idea, that's a great thought, man, I respect that, I'm glad you think that, but what does it mean to do that? What does it mean to be that kind of person who takes action steps towards that? And so, would you stand with me as we read the scripture this morning, and as we let the Holy Spirit speak to us? We are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, kind of the end of the Sermon on the Mount here, and I'm going to read starting in chapter 7, verse 24. It'll be on the screen behind me. It says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them," other translations say put into practice, "who acts on them will be like a wise man, a wise woman who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words," this is Jesus talking, "of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like the scribes. Would you pray? God, we thank you for who you are, Jesus. We thank you that you are present. Holy Spirit, with these words, be your words and not my words, God. You speak, you encourage, you know each person. And God, we need you today. So would you empower us to live this out, to hear these words, to live kingdom life, to live on mission, to be people of justice, to love like you love, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can grab a seat. How many seniors we have in the house? Come on. No, be proud of it. Be proud of it. Come on. Anybody graduating this semester? I see a hand. I see a hand. I pray blessing on you. I remember when I was a senior. I'm not that much older than y'all, to be honest. That would have been about 4 years ago. I was a senior. And I was going into Christmas break my senior year. And I will be completely honest with you. I was stressed out of my mind. Overwhelmed out of my mind. And I'm not someone who gets overwhelmed very easy. I'm a very much more laid-back personality. To be honest, if you know me, you hopefully can attest. But I was Christmas break my senior year, and I was stressed, absolutely stressed. I had no idea what I was doing next. And I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you can relate with that, but if you're a senior, maybe you can. I had literally no idea what was going next. I had no job lined up. You might laugh. I had no girlfriend. I wanted to get married. I was single, and I was praying for that. I did not want to live with my parents. My oldest brother had graduated from Northwest, and he had moved back home when I was early years in high school. And it was great for him, but I was like, Lord, I do not want to do that. I do not want to go back. I love my parents dearly, but I did not want to do that. I had no place set up to live. I felt so lost. It was Christmas break, and so I was going into Christmas break, and I said, okay, Lord, I am going to do what I know I should do, and I'm going to pray. And I prayed, and I spent that whole Christmas break. We went and saw family, and I have no idea what I got or what that Christmas was, because I was literally just praying, and I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. So I prayed all of Christmas break, and I felt no different at the end of it. You guys ever been there where you are seeking the Lord? You're like, God, I need an answer. God, I need you. And you spend days, weeks, a month. It was probably about a month. We had 4 weeks off that Christmas that year. And nothing. Just seeking the Lord. And I had no idea what I was doing next. I had no job lined up. I had nowhere to live lined up. I was overwhelmed. I was anxious. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to do. And I believe that he had a plan for my life. God, I said, I believe that you're doing something, but I don't see it in front of me. I don't see it in right happening right now. What are you doing, God? And so I came back. My senior year, I was living in the student apartments. I came back either that Saturday or that Sunday. I remember being in my apartment so vividly. And I said, God, I'm going to keep praying. I was going into my classes, anxious about my classes. I'd barely passed one of my classes the semester before. And I said, God, I just don't feel like I'm in a good place. What are you doing? God, what are you doing? And I came back, and it was that Saturday or that Sunday. And I said, God, I need to pray because I need answers. I need you to come through. I need something. That's just where I was. And so where the prayer where you just sit on the floor? It wasn't the nice prayer. It wasn't the neat sitting. It was just, God, I'm just laying on my floor. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And so I sit on the floor and I pray. And I just spend time praying. I don't even know what I prayed. And I just kind of got to the point where I was done. You ever been there? You're just like, God, I'm praying. I'm almost in that prayer of desperation. I don't know what to do. I've exhausted myself, and I'm just sitting there, tired, sitting on my floor, leaning against the couch, not on the couch, leaning against the couch. No one was in the apartment, and I'm praying, and I'm just sitting there. And I've never heard the Lord audibly. I pray it happens one day. But as clear as the Lord has ever spoken to me, he said, Micah, do you trust me? And I literally started crying. I felt the Lord's presence, and it's the most I've ever felt the Lord in my entire life. It wasn't in a pursuit, though I felt the Lord in some extent to a pursuit. I was sitting in my bedroom crying out to God, and he, in his loving nature, said, Micah, do you trust me? And I wish I had given this resounding yes, and I literally sat there, and I was like, Lord, what else do I have to do? I guess so. I gave the Lord an I guess so. I said, I guess I trust you, Lord. I don't know what else I would do. I don't know where else I'm going to go. I need you to come through. I feel so lost and broken. But I give you my humble I guess so, Lord. I trust you. And I think for some of us, as we have come out of Missions Month, as we have come out of Justice, or even if you're thinking through where your life is going, I think God is inviting us and encouraging, and he's looking at you and saying, do you trust me? I know the situation seems big. Maybe you have no idea what you're doing after you're graduating. Maybe the family situation really sucks. Maybe you just started your online class for the second half of the semester and you feel overwhelmed. Do you trust me? And let the Holy Spirit speak that to you. Let God speak to you and say, do you trust me? And we don't have to give this resounding yes. We have to give this humble yes. God, I trust you. Yes. And the Lord, it didn't happen instantly, but the Lord was faithful. Like AJ was saying, the Lord was faithful. And it didn't necessarily get instantly better, but there was this peace when you know Jesus deeper. When you let the Holy Spirit speak to you in a deeper, deeper way. And as we look at this Matthew 7:24 passage of Jesus talking at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he's giving us this invitation and says, if you hear what I say and you do it, and you put it into practice, and you be the person who Jesus is inviting us into the kingdom of God, and I think our response today needs to be, Jesus, I trust you. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. God, I don't want to just be someone who thinks that's a good thought, who believes, hey, someone else will do justice. God, I believe in justice. God, I don't want to be someone who thinks that's a mission. God, I want to be someone who's a doer. And often we use the phrase believers. And I don't necessarily want to dog on the phrase believers, but I think a much better word would be follower. It's easy to believe something and do nothing about it. It's easy to believe in Jesus and have a life that looks nothing like Jesus. It's easy to say, God, I agree with these doctrines. I agree with all the things that we believe and say in the Bible, but God, my life looks nothing like it. Jesus is not inviting us to be a believer. He's inviting us to be a follower. He's inviting us to follow him and be a follower, because following involves action. Following involves movement. Following is going where Jesus goes, being the kind of person that Jesus is inviting us into. And he went to his disciples, and he didn't say, hey, believe in me. He went to his disciples and said, hey, come and follow me. Come and see what I will do. Come and be with me. And so as we think about justice, as we think about mission, where is Jesus inviting you to have movement? Where is Jesus inviting you to go? Where in your life do you maybe feel stuck where God says, come, take one step. You might have no idea where the next step is leading. Come and follow me. And the good news is good because of how broken. Like I said, right, we started, there is real pain and real hurt. And that is why the gospel is so good, because Jesus doesn't leave that. He deals with it and gets deep into our messes. He gets deep into that and he sets us free. And in the same way that we are reconciled to God, we are then empowered by the Holy Spirit and equipped to go out, and God uses us to reconcile other people back to God. There is movement. We are so over-ecstatic of what God's doing in our life that we want other people to know. We want other people to experience it. Jesus would be with those people, so that's where I should be. Jesus is with the homeless and unhoused, so that's where I want to be. Jesus is with the refugee, so that's where I want to be. Jesus is with, fill in the blank, those who are experiencing injustice, that's what Jesus is. Those who are against Jesus, that's what Jesus is. And he's inviting us to move, to have movement, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers. And my last thought is this: do we trust Jesus with this vision of life that he's going to come through? That he says, come and follow me. That he says, go and be where I am. That he says, I'm going to come through and be the King of Kings. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do we trust him with this vision? And my encouragement to you today would be yes, to trust the words of Jesus. Trust the Holy Spirit working in your life, because he is faithful. And what would it look like in your life and in your situation to trust him today? To not just hear the words, but to be doers of the words, to put your faith into action, to put justice into action, to put your trust into action. Amen. I'm going to invite Megan up, and she's going to kind of lead us through this time of putting this a little bit into action. And so can you welcome Megan to the stage?
Thank you so much, Micah. So who is this Jesus that we're called to trust and to follow? Who is this Jesus? We're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen to this scripture, it has been fulfilled." A few things about this passage. Jesus is declaring that he fulfills this Old Testament passage, this Old Testament prophecy that comes from the book of Isaiah. And he found it on purpose. Normally in the synagogue, there was a rotation of readings that were read at different Sabbath days. Jesus purposefully went and found this passage in Isaiah to make sure he could proclaim that this prophecy was fulfilled by him. He fulfilled this prophecy, it says, by being marked by the Spirit, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Jesus fulfilled this prophecy because the Spirit of the Lord anointed him and marked him. And we are marked by that same Spirit. So we also fulfill this prophecy. It isn't only saviors that fulfill this prophecy. It's just people filled with the Spirit who fulfill this prophecy. When I was in college, somebody made this point to me that I had never realized. If you look, especially in the Gospel of Luke, where the Spirit is really highlighted in Jesus's ministry, you can see that when he was baptized in the Jordan, and then the Spirit descended upon him, and he went through the temptation and showed that the Spirit was giving him strength, his entire ministry was done in the power of the Spirit. So often we think that Jesus is only able to do what he did because he was God, and we're not. But he did what he did because he was filled with the Spirit, and we have the same Spirit, so we also can walk in and do the things that he did. In fact, we are called to continue fulfilling this prophecy as little Christs. When we say we're Christians, we're saying we're little Christs, as we are the body of Christ on earth, continuing to fulfill this prophecy, continuing to go and proclaim release and recovery and freedom and favor. The justice that Christ and his body are to bring to this world is a holistic justice. I love what Blake said on Wednesday when we had a conversation on justice. He gave us some definitions, and one of those ones he gave really stood out to me. He said, justice means more than punishment of wrongdoing. It might be part of justice, but it's more than that. It's also giving people what they are due, whether that is punishment or protection or care, because we see the image of God in that person. We see that they deserve that protection and that care, that is what God would want for them. It also must be done in relationship. It's about restoring right relationships. That's the very reason Jesus came to the earth, was to restore right relationships. It's also about doing justice in relationship, not outside of relationship. Being just or doing justice is about doing what is right for others. So we want to spend some time considering how to live in this calling to participate in justice with Jesus, to participate in bringing about a flourishing society and even a society that honors God. Justice also involves the proclamation of the gospel. There are so many areas of injustice that could be addressed, especially when you think about the definition that I just said, where justice can involve bringing about protection and care or what someone should have as an image bearer of God, or the correction of wrongdoing or the correction of anything that stands against God. There are many topics of justice that are at the forefront of culture right now that are really being highlighted, and for good reason, but there are many more maybe than what we hear about on a daily basis. We just pause to expand our perspective. If you pause also to consider that justice should be done in relationship and should involve those you are in relationship with, think about who you genuinely know right now who in some large or small way needs to have justice brought into their life. It could be, at times for me, it's been a neighbor that I know who is lonely, an elderly person who doesn't have community anymore or isn't valued for their contribution to society. Sometimes it's a child I know who isn't receiving the resources that they need to grow up healthy and safe. Sometimes it's someone I know in our city who is houseless. Sometimes it's someone I know who needs support in injustices that they're experiencing with finances or various things. There's lots of people we know, if we think about justice in terms of relationship, who are experiencing injustice. So taking these next few minutes, what we want to do is invite you to put this into practice, to have God show you what it is that breaks his heart, that he wants your heart to break for. Who is it? What is it? What area is it? I'm going to put a few things on the screen real quick. Here's just like a short list, honestly, of some of the things that you could care about, that you could realize are areas of injustice God is calling you to address as one who carries the same prophecy that Jesus carries. But what we want to do is, if you got a note card when you came in, pull that note card out. If you didn't get a note card, please raise your hand high and we'll make sure that you get one, because we're going to use it to process what God is saying to us. So take that note card and take a pen, or pen or pencil, and we're going to put a few questions on the screen. And all we're asking you to do is to take a moment to listen to God, just quiet yourself in his presence and ask him, what is an area of injustice, any area of injustice that he is calling you to care about and that he has put on your heart? And, who is it? That you're called to care about, and what is one small step that God is asking you or inviting you to take to join him in caring about people in this way. We'll put a little music on, let you reflect on these questions. It is really important to us that you put your name and your email on the top, and I'll explain why afterwards, but for now, just take a moment to write about these questions. Just going to give you 30 more seconds. If you're still writing, that's fine, but I would like to hear from a couple of you brave people, because I believe that God has spoken to you of something that he has for you to address that might be an encouragement to someone else. And so I'm actually going to go ahead and come down off the stage, and my question is really just if you would be willing to share the answer to the first question, which is, what is an area of injustice that you feel that God is calling you to address? Just real quick, if I could just have two brave people share, would someone be willing to share? Okay. This is Kelsey. Kelsey, will you tell us? I'll hold this for you. Just tell us what God is calling you to address.
I just first thought of human trafficking and, like, sex slavery, and the people group was the women that are trapped in the human trafficking. For the second question about, like, how to, what was the second question? I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, the first question? That was just, yeah, human trafficking.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Did anyone else feel called to that? Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you. I believe there are many people in First Chapel as well who felt called to this. So thank you for sharing, Kelsey. And this is Millie. Millie, thanks for being brave to share. What do you feel called to address?
I feel called to address, like, homelessness and widows, orphans. I feel like we always push them aside, and I just also felt like the Lord was saying those who have been sexually abused, human trafficking, and I just there's so much of it. It's crazy. Like, I'll go into Walmart, and I'll see a whole entire billboard on so many children that are missing or teenagers, and I feel like we can take part in taking pictures of those people and actually going out of our way to, like, analyze a room, you know?
Thank you so much for sharing that. I actually think we have time for one more, if anyone else would like to share. Anybody back here? Awesome. This is Sam.
So lately, God's been putting on my heart to think about the mercy that he showed us and to just be more focused in extending that as Christians. And yeah.
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you, all of you. Honestly, the reason that we had you write your name and your email on here is because we don't do justice alone. Not only do we do it in relationship with the people who are experiencing injustice, but we do it together as the body of Christ. And our desire is to gather these cards as you walk out and to connect you to the people who are like-minded with a similar passion and a similar heartbreak to yours, to see if there's something you guys want to start or something you want to join into together, and also to resource you. Because many of the areas of injustice that you might feel called to address, there are already amazing people working in those areas. And we want to help you find those people, maybe those places, where you can join in. And so Campus Ministries is going to gather your cards on the way out. There's a gray basket. We're not leaving quite yet, but just so you know, there's a gray basket in the lobby that you can drop your card into. And we will be emailing you and kind of connecting you to one another and to resources. Because like Micah said, we want this entire month to be a month that moves us into action and that moves us into being the people who are marked by the Spirit and are fulfilling that prophecy of Isaiah today. I want to invite you, as we enter into the last couple minutes of our time together, to stand with me and say this prayer with me. So if you'll stand, this prayer is from Francis of Assisi. It is a prayer that you may have heard before. And the reason just for praying it out loud together is because it kind of makes our collective prayer into a verbal commitment to live this out, empowered by the Spirit. And so just pray this with intention, and we'll say it out loud together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Thank you for committing to these things with us. I look forward to connecting you and to seeing our community in action.